This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we are 58 years of service to our clients and community. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we welcome you, the rich, the only listener, to our family, because relationships matter to all of us. We are Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Will Pennsylvania be the Florida of 2020? That's the question today. How bad is this election going to be for sanity? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, Facebook.com/Cioli Show. The CDC issues Halloween guidance, trying to ruin the fun for everybody. And the Department of Justice says New York City is an anarchist jurisdiction. What about Philly? When do we get our anarchist jurisdiction moniker? It's pretty bad here, too. Come on, be fair. So the question, of course, comes down to the nuttiness of the state Supreme Court and their recent ruling that you can have ballots come in days after the election ends, and they don't even have to be postmarked. That's the part of it that's the tricky little rub right there. They don't even have to be postmarked. The postmark doesn't have to be legible. They just have to accept the ballots. All right, so I've said this scenario to you before. It's election night, and it looks like as Republicans are most likely going to vote in person, you count the votes, and it looks like Trump has won. Then on Friday, when all these votes are turned in by 5 p.m. to the elections people, they count the votes. 7 o'clock on Friday, there's a press conference announcing that actually Joe Biden won Pennsylvania, and then chaos ensues. But the thing about it is that they thought Trump won the whole election when he won Pennsylvania on Tuesday night. Now it's Friday, and now they say actually Joe Biden won the election. Craziness could ensue. Think of how close the race is, right? In 2016, Trump won Pennsylvania by less than 50,000 votes. And back then, you know, there were some more third party candidates on the ballot. Jill Stein was on the ballot for the Green Party. Gary Johnson was on for the Republicans. And so, or I'm sorry, for the Libertarian Party. It was close. And yet third party this time around, since the Supreme Court has said that the Green Party candidate will not be on the ballot, it's going to be really, really interesting what that means. Basically, there's nowhere else for Democrats to go but for Joe Biden, which could make the race even tighter potentially or not. Who knows? There's all kinds of scenarios that could happen. But the new guidelines that were issued, counties cannot reject mailed-in ballots solely because of mismatched or missing signatures. So you could forget to sign your ballot. They still have to count it. You could just mail in a ballot for somebody. It's not even their ballot. They have to count it because there's no signature there. Now, that's absurd, and it's insane at its face. But as I've mentioned to you, judges have always been very lenient over the years on things like signatures, for example, because people, as time wears on, their signature changes a little bit, or they forget to sign the book or whatever. So judges have usually been a little bit lenient on that. But this takes it to a whole nother level. Then 26,000 mail-in ballots were rejected during Pennsylvania's primary election for signature issues. 26,000. So now what's going to happen is counties are going to flag those ballots and give voters a chance to appear in person to verify their ballots. So they'll still get a chance to vote. They don't throw it away. That's what I mean. The leniency in this area is crazy. On September 17th, the state Supreme Court ordered counties to accept mail-in ballots that arrived 3 days after the November 3rd election, as long as they were postmarked on or before Election Day. But here's the wrinkle. Ready? Ballots received within this period that lack a postmark or proof of mailing, or for which the postmark or other proof of mailing is illegible, will be presumed to have been mailed by Election Day unless there is some evidence to suggest they were not, the court wrote. Now, could this scenario happen? It's Tuesday night. Trump wins Pennsylvania. He wins the presidency, but you still have till Friday. And then on Thursday at like 7 o'clock, 20,000 ballots show up. Or maybe 2,000 ballots show up. Maybe it's only 200. Who knows how close the race will be. Ballots are not postmarked. There's not even an eligible postmark. You just can't. There's no postmark. I mean, could they do this? Could they pull that off? Certainly movies would say so. Books would say so. The 1876 election would say so. I'll get to that another time, but Chicago would say so in 1960s election. I mean, sure, they can figure out a way. There's always a way. Now, one of the people involved in all this said, Pennsylvanian voters can cast their vote without fear that the ballot could be rejected solely because an election official who isn't trained in handwriting analysis thinks their signatures don't match. And then this issue of these ballots showing up until Friday at 5 p.m. is crazy. Ray Zaborni, a Pennsylvania-based Republican campaign strategist, said, told Reason.com, he said, obviously the changes are disconcerting and do nothing to help voters, but do open it up to fraud. That's right. So you could have signatures that don't match as ballots are handed in with no postmark up till Friday at 5 p.m. Now, listen, if Pennsylvania is the state that's going to decide this election, and how much will it decide the election? Well, Nate Silver, the statistician at 538, puts it like this. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, he's got an 84% chance of becoming president of the United States for another term. Ready? If Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania, he's got a 96% chance of winning the presidency. That's how much Pennsylvania matters into who the next president of the United States will be. Okay? Now, when you factor that in and you think about Pennsylvania and it's Tuesday night, it's 11 p.m., and they've called the state for Donald Trump based on people that voted in person, which are most likely Republican voters, and he's now won the presidency. But then Friday at 5 o'clock, thousands of ballots have shown up, many with no signatures, some with missing signatures, some with signatures that don't match. A lot of them don't have postmarks. Many do. Many postmarks, you can't even read them. But they count all those votes and find out Joe Biden's president. Just imagine the chaos that will ensue. Just imagine it. And how do you prove that somebody didn't mail in their ballot before the election if there's no postmark? The postmark is the way to know this, right? Like, take your tax returns, for example. If I send the IRS my tax returns and I mail them on April 17th, I may get a penalty and a fine. If it's postmarked on April 15th, which is why post offices stay open later on the 15th, then I don't, because they know that I at least mailed it on the 15th or the 16th. I mean, depending on the day of the week, you know my point. You don't need to fact check that one, but you know the point I'm making, right? The IRS will, if it comes down to it, look at the postmark. But if you send in, so even if you send in your tax returns and you pay your money by April 15th, but the letter gets delayed, they receive it 2 weeks later, you're good. You're good. But with the ballot situation, they could get a ballot. It's 5 o'clock on Friday. They open it up and they go, by the way, when was that thing mailed? I don't know. There's no postmark. Doesn't matter. The state Supreme Court said, you got to count it. Look at that. That is crazy to me. This is the tipping point state. Of the 270 electoral vote threshold, Pennsylvania is so important. Trump has an 84% chance of winning the presidency if he carries the state. And Biden has a 96% chance of winning if he carries Pennsylvania. So as Eric Beam at Reason.com writes, if chaos unfolds in Pennsylvania in the days after November 3rd, save some blame for the state's Republican-controlled legislature, which has stubbornly refused to consider a number of simple changes that could have smoothed out problems in the state's election laws. He says maybe the most important of those changes is a proposal to allow county officials to open and count mail-in ballots before Election Day, something that all but a few states allow. He says, it's almost certain that barring a shockingly large landslide, Pennsylvania won't be able to declare a winner in the presidential race on election night, and probably not for days or even weeks after. If the state's 20 electoral votes could swing the election, all of America might be wondering why Pennsylvania made such a mess of things. He says Republicans, Democrats, the state legislature, the state Supreme Court, and the governor will all share the blame if Pennsylvania becomes this election's Florida. I disagree with them on a little bit of a point on that. I don't think the Republican legislature on the issue of counting the ballots ahead of time is the issue. I think the problem is not that. The problem is that the legislature is allowing the Supreme Court to make all the laws. The legislature is empowered to make the law when it comes to the election in the state. The Supreme Court now has taken that away from them. And unless they fight back on this point, that provision, forget everything else. That provision that ballots could show up with no signatures and no postmark and still have to be counted after they know Trump won the election Tuesday night. So you have they have a motivation to make sure that there's fake ballots that get mailed. Look, the 1876 election, 1960 Chicago, Philadelphia not having any votes for Mitt Romney in any of its precincts in 2012. I mean, there's a lot of evidence over the years that there could be election shenanigans. It's happened in our nation's history. The 1876 election, by all accounts, historians don't think Rutherford B. Hayes actually won the election, even though he won the presidency by one electoral vote. I'm reading this great book about it today. It's fascinating. But so it's happened in America before, and it could happen again. This is there's nothing that's of a higher stake than the presidency of the United States of America. Nothing. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. The Trump campaign knows that, by the way, which is why they're all in on Pennsylvania. They're all in. And they're saying that they're going to make Pennsylvania the must-win state for them, which is really smart of them, because I think that, and that's why the president was in Pittsburgh last night. It's really smart of them to think that. Axios reports the Trump campaign goes all in on Pennsylvania based on the fact that they're saying that the 20 electoral votes, twice Wisconsin's number, actually has been trending higher in recent public and internal polling. The campaign says they used to think Pennsylvania would be harder to secure and Wisconsin was in the bag. Now it's vice versa. They're saying they see the path of least resistance runs through Pennsylvania to the White House. Trump's anti-Biden messaging on fracking and trade, as well as his law and order rhetoric, aides believe plays well with the state's white working class voters. You think about it from the perspective of if you're out in Western Pennsylvania and you're in the fracking industry, coal industry, if you're a union guy out there, well, you've heard Joe Biden talking about getting rid of those industries and thousands of jobs to transition to the Green New Deal. If you're a white college-educated suburban woman in the suburbs and you see the chaos in Philadelphia, you see the homeless encampment every night on the news, the shootings, you hear Democrats talk about defunding the police, well, the polling data tells us you get very, very worried about your home values and you don't want that coming to your neighborhood. All of these factors together add into a fact that says that Donald Trump could do very, very well again in Pennsylvania. In September alone, six of the top Trump campaign surrogates have been deployed, including Ivanka Trump, Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr. twice, and Vice President Mike Pence. And of course, the president made his third visit to the state last night outside of Pittsburgh in Moon Township. Everything comes down to this state. And because of the Supreme Court and this nutty ruling, it is perfect for potential voter fraud to take place. I'm telling you, systemic, organized voter fraud, like the kind that the mafia engaged in 1960s election, the kind that Chicago engaged in 1960s election, the kind of chaos that was engaged in the 1876 election, because they were so worried about the Democrats winning the national election so close to after the Civil War happened. It's happened in our nation's history. To think that it can't, you're just naive. And the Republicans need to get control of this ASAP. Charlie's in Philadelphia. Charlie, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I can't fathom how somebody could go or vote and send a thing in without proving who they are. You can't even get a pack of cigarettes in Pennsylvania unless you prove who you are. I went in Wawa the other day, and I'm 65 years old, and they wanted me to show a license or an ID, a Pennsylvania ID,
right.
Which I, you know, it doesn't bother me. I have it right there on my wallet. But it's just the point of something as important as voting for president, and you can send in a ballot, nobody checks who you are, where you live, your signature, nothing. I mean, it's just mind-boggling how this ever could pass or go through or something, any, like, intelligent human being.
I know.
Why can't somebody get out and vote one day in a year? I mean, come on. You got all day to do it. You could do it in the morning. You could do it in the afternoon. You could do it, you know, in the evening. It's just ridiculous. I just don't. I don't know. I think Jello Joe's going to lose a lot of votes in Philadelphia because of this, with these riots and all, too. I really do.
Yeah, I think that the Democrat position on defund the police, whether or not Joe Biden says it's his position or not, I think a lot of people who are, for example, black voters in cities like Philadelphia are not going to want to hear that message. They're not going to vote for a Democrat party that says that.
People are afraid of people rioting, burning down their neighborhoods. Nobody wants that. Nobody. Black, white, Hispanic, nobody wants to live like that. People want to go to work. They want to support their families. They want to get a decent car, have a decent place to live. Because I live in a very diverse neighborhood. Nobody wants to be running around looting and shooting and killing. And you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think
Joe Biden's beating a bad drum there. He ought to go back to Jell-O in a nursing home. Jell-O Joe.
All right, Charlie. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Jell-O Joe. I like that. And the Supreme Court has also ruled this naked ballots issue, which could hurt Joe Biden. They say that you could have if the state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania said that officials must throw out naked ballots, which are mail ballots that arrive without the inner secrecy envelopes. You have to have the two ballot systems. So if a ballot does not have the secrecy envelope, taken together with the other ruling, which is coming up, which the Supreme Court ruled that you cannot have the Green Party presidential guy on the ballot. The rulings were seen as likely to give Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's campaign a boost, since Democrats are expected to vote by mail in far greater numbers than Republicans this year. But throwing out naked ballots could be costly for Biden in a state that President Trump won by only 44,000 votes. Now, we'll talk more about this in the days to come. I'm just telling you, madness is on the horizon here. This is the big story of the day today. It's brought to you by Wawa. Wawa, great stuff, right? Don't you love Wawa? I do. And you can get their Sizzlies. I mean, who doesn't love a delicious Wawa Sizzly in the morning to start your day? Wonderful stuff, right? I mean, I just love I'm a big Wawa fan. I think it has to do with the fact that it's local, and that really matters a lot, too. You know, that local taste of Wawa, because it's really, really important stuff. So go and check out Wawa. Get the breakfast Sizzlies for only $2. Gotta have a Wawa. And I also want to thank, too, FanDuel for being a great sponsor of the show. FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. They got all the action covered for you, including, by the way, their wonderful double-up promotions. You place a pregame moneyline wager. If your team scores 35-plus points, double your winnings. Max bonus $50 in site credit, one eligible wager per person. And here's the best part. If you've been thinking about trying FanDuel, well, you get a $1,000 chance to try it, because if you lose, you get that money back as a site credit to try again. That's right. FanDuel is also providing customers the opportunity with their double-up winnings exclusive for the football, basketball, and hockey as well. Just go to FanDuel Sportsbook, get the app, sign up with my promo code RICH, and get started. Now, you must be 21 and older, present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of non-stop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. So glad you're with us today. Very, very much appreciate it. 855-839-1210. I hate talking politics outside of the show, that is. I hate it. I have a rule in my house. We don't talk politics. We don't talk politics on the weekends. We don't talk politics with friends. We don't talk politics with family. My mother-in-law's here at the house. We don't see eye to eye on anything political. We don't talk politics in my house. My parents come to visit, and they're obsessed with politics and Trump and Fox News. We don't talk politics because I need a friggin' break from it. Sometimes you just need a break. You can imagine that, right?
Of course.
I see people sometimes around, and they always come up to me, and they go, "Oh, Rich," and they start talking about the election. I go, "Listen, I'm off the clock, all right? I'm off the clock. Talk to me from 5:30 to 9. We can chat all you want about it."
Smart.
There are also some rules in life, right? Don't talk politics or religion where? Dinner time or at bars, right?
Yeah.
How about weddings?
Ooh.
How about weddings?
Yeah, I would say no.
So no politics, right?
Yeah.
A politics-free zone. Is it reasonable then for a bride-to-be to say, "Please, at my wedding, I don't want anybody to talk politics. I don't want anybody to be upset."
Of course.
Okay?
Especially coming from the bride.
Right. It's her big dream day. She doesn't want any political fights. She's asking people, "Please don't argue with each other. I just don't want it at my wedding." So wherever you stand on the issue, just talk about something else, right?
Yep.
Now, good luck finding something else to talk about these days. It's not political, but talk about something else. Now, what about this? What if a bride-to-be says, I'm going to ban you from my wedding if you won't talk politics?
Oh, what? Like, wow.
Yes.
So she's forcing her guests to interact on the political scale.
What if she makes it clear that she says, you better bring up politics, and if you don't bring up politics, if you're not willing to talk politics at my wedding, I don't want you to come to my wedding. That would be amazing, right?
It's her day.
I guarantee you at my wedding, this is going to be a knockout, drag-out political fight.
Wow.
I don't know if that would ever happen or not. I did see this one story, though, on Fox News. This woman says, bride-to-be bans guests from wedding for refusing to not talk about politics. She said, I have a friend, let's call her Emma, who I invited along with a few other friends. Yesterday, another one of my friends, Maria, messaged me and warned me about Emma. Maria said that Emma planned on bringing up the topic of politics and what's going on in her country and having a discussion about it at my wedding. And she says, I don't think a wedding is the correct time or place for having such discussions. So she says she wants her wedding to be a lighthearted affair and she wants guests to just be able to relax and enjoy themselves. I think it's perfectly reasonable, don't you?
Of course.
So she asked Emma about this, and Emma admitted that everything Maria said. She said, I told her that discussing politics at a wedding isn't the best idea, and I'd love if she refrained from doing so. She said she can't turn off her mind from whatever's happening in the country, and she couldn't stop herself from bringing up these topics. I was like, fair enough, but then I would have to withdraw the invitation for my wedding. I have to uninvite you, Emma. She did not take the uninvite well. She stopped talking to the bride-to-be and has been posting passive-aggressive stories to Instagram about the bride. I got to tell you, Bill, Millennial, Greg, I think that this bride is 100% in the right to say, I don't want politics at my wedding.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed. I love the sub-tweeting or the sub-Instagramming, though. That's the best part.
Yeah, the passive-aggressive. Instagram stories about the bride-to-be.
Well, I love those.
Sluts getting married, finally. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think, look, it's your day, right? You get to say the rules.
Yeah, like, so here's, let's play this out. So let's have a scenario where the bride says, I don't want politics in this scenario. But at the same time, her groom, her husband-to-be, says, no, I want my guests to talk politics.
Yeah.
Does it default to the bride then?
Because actually, it defaults to the divorce lawyer who's in table four, who you get an early sign-on bonus if you just end the marriage right then and there.
There you go.
You just call it a day right there.
Yeah.
At my wedding, we have that rule, no politics, because half my family is on my side of the aisle, and then Bridget's family is on her on the other side of the aisle, my mother's side, my mother-in-law's side of the aisle, said, I don't want any of this happening. That was the rule. It's a good rule.
Yeah, it really is.
But if I had to do it all over again, I think I would mandate you have to talk politics.
You'd have to bring it up. Sit on this instead of groom side or bride side. It's Biden side, Trump side.
That's a great idea. You could have red chairs and blue chairs.
There is a bakery up in by Greg and I in Hapro that sells cookies, and I forget what their bakery's name is. I'll look it up. But they've been selling cookies on each side of the aisle, Biden and Trump, and they've determined the election since 2008. Who sells the most?
I've heard about this bakery. How are they doing right now? They said.
I think the last I saw, I didn't see the number, but I know Trump was in the lead.
See, what I would do is, if it were me, if I wanted a political wedding, I would have I would have the table, six chairs, three blue, three red, and say you have to sit based on who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Go, and I would have people fight like. You know the game with like where the chair goes missing? What's that game called you play
musical
with your
chairs?
Kids? Yeah, musical chairs. Political chairs at the wedding. It'd be great. Mix in alcohol, mix in the emotion of everything.
I feel like you have to include alcohol. If you don't have alcohol at that, then you're doing something wrong.
No,
you
want to go all in on the politics at the wedding. I think it's fantastic.
Yep.
Hey, I saw this story too. Air Force Two carried Vice President Mike Pence. That's why it's called Air Force Two. Had a turnaround at a New Hampshire airport. You know why? A bird hit the plane. A freaking bird. So these planes are meant to carry the most important, powerful people in our country and avoid missiles and shots, right? Russians, Cubans. But a friggin' bird can bring down Air Force Two. So this is what happened. They had to literally now turn the plane around, fly back to a New Hampshire airport, and then they had to take a cargo plane back to Washington, D.C. Mike Pence flew back on like a UPS plane.
like what was it, the movie Air Force One with Harrison Ford at the end of that movie when they transport him to the cargo plane?
Right, exactly, yeah. Hey, listen, just move those packages aside, Mr. Vice President. You sit right there, okay? I mean, are the Chinese or the Russians not looking at that and going, wait a minute, we're spending all this money investing weapons that could bring down Air Force One. All we need to do is, like, release a seagull?
Yeah, geese.
Yeah, can geese fly, by the way? I don't even know. I guess they can, right?
Well, that's what, if you remember the Miracle on the Hudson, with Captain Sully that
yes.
landed the plane on the water, that hit several geese.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That happened.
So why don't our enemies just to launch birds?
That's all they got to do.
Well, it seems like this is that Alfred Hitchcock saw this coming a long, long time ago, right? Now, Snow Bunny Gal on Twitter says, Rich, you tell people not to talk politics with you outside of work. What if people don't want to bother you while you're working? It's a great question. It's a great point. Yeah, don't call me. I'm at work, right? It's an excellent point. Hashtag Zeoli Army. Thank you for that. Let's see now. that's very good. I want to thank Wendy, too. She just got my dad's book she ordered, Rising from the Ashes. Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate that as well. That's great. Sue got us a facepalm. Says, my liberal friend in Atlanta told me I was a warm, caring, amazing woman unless I'm talking about politics and I become a bully. Do I take that as a compliment? Yes. Yes, you do. That's why I don't talk politics outside of work, because of that very, very reason right there. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. I want to thank Cherry Hill Volvo for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Cherry Hill Volvo, right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter. Go and see them today, and you'll understand why they're such great friends of the show. But I want to welcome to the show, Ken Cuccinelli is the Acting Deputy Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who joins us here in Philadelphia. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I appreciate you making the time today. By the way, do you know, is Philadelphia also an anarchist jurisdiction yet? Because if not, we should be. How do we get nominated for that?
How do you apply for anarchism? well, obviously, the Attorney General's off to a blazing start with New York, Seattle, and Portland. But that doesn't mean everybody else is in a good place. You know, with the cooperation we don't get from Philadelphia, certainly at the Department of Homeland Security, is not a plus. But some of the other factors that the AG was looking for are not there. So believe it or not, there in Philly, things aren't as bad for you all in terms of the direction they're going than they are for some other cities.
That's amazing to me. It really is. But I guess it's because I drive by the homeless encampment every day. I say, we can't tailgate. We're not allowed to tailgate, but you can be at a homeless encampment. So, you know, go figure. But New York being a anarchist jurisdiction, I mean, obviously law and order is a major issue in this country right now. Where do things stand with attacks on law enforcement officials? We've got the continued violence in certain cities. This is a priority, obviously, for Department of Homeland Security. Where do things stand right now?
Yeah, absolutely. The president's got us sort of leaning forward on all of this. And we're in a lot of these cities. We're still in Portland at an expanded level. We've got people in Louisville as we await a Kentucky Attorney General ruling there. And, you know, sadly, we're there because we expect violence regardless of whether the people involved actually like the ruling or not, which points up, I won't say the absurdity, but the fact that these sorts of things are an excuse for some of these violent actors and anarchists. So we are also working with the Department of Justice in over 10 cities around the country on Operation Legend. There have been over 2,000 arrests. Over the course of the last few weeks, couple of months, really, in Operation Legend. And that's aimed at just the rise in violence in many of these liberal-governed cities. And that all traces back, really, to years of the policies they have and the leniency. You know, you look at New York, there's no bail policy or low bail. And you're just inviting criminals to come out and commit more crime. You know, the 80-20 rule tends to hold. 80% of your crime comes from 20% of your criminals. And if you're just going to let them walk right out a revolving door, then you're going to get more crime more quickly. So that's a problem in a lot of cities. It's not something the federal government can solve. You know, you solve it there locally with how you vote. And those elections have genuine consequences. We've got a tough on crime rule of law president. But that doesn't mean every governor and mayor is willing to cooperate to keep peace in their own community. That's what's so amazing to me.
Yeah, no, that is amazing, Ken Cuccinelli. It really is. It's shocking that they can't distinguish the difference between a peaceful protest and violence. And clearly, you
and
know,
violence,
we all support
right?
peaceful protests, but there's so much violence that
Absolutely.
Takes place. And, you know, it's they keep acting like it's not happening, like we can't watch it on television for ourselves or something.
Right. Well, right. You've got these mainstream media reporters standing in front of a burning city saying, well, it's another peaceful night here in Portland,
right.
you know, or really, really? Are you blind? What, you know, what's going on there? But I have great faith in the wisdom of the American people. They see through junk like that. And of course, when it goes on and on and on, there's only so much the left can spin this. We can, as you said, we can see it for ourselves, and we know what's needed to be done. This president knows what's needed to be done. Public safety is the number one priority of all three levels of government. All three levels of government. Now, at the national level, that can take a broad form of national security, but that's the first responsibility of government, is keeping peace. And that's all this president wants. You know, whether it's cities or states that are blue or red or green or purple, whatever, he just wants peace in these communities. And he's pushing us to lean forward within the boundaries of our jurisdiction to do everything we can to make it happen. And we'll keep doing that.
I'm glad to hear that, because it's important for everybody. Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli joins me, of course, Acting Deputy Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. It's great to have him with us today. You're a Jersey guy like me, so let me ask you this question. Our state has been at the forefront of corruption and voter fraud. We lead the way. We're very proud of that, of course. How do we make sure...
Congratulations.
How do we make sure that we have an election coming up in 2020 that is actually secure, not only from domestic actors, but also foreign actors as well, who might be trying to influence the election?
Well, let me start with the foreign, because that's where more federal responsibility resides. And, you know, we are actually in a better, more secure place today than we were 4 years ago. On the federal level, in terms of security against cyber attacks, all 50 states are talking to us and each other, which is three times as many as 4 years ago, if you can believe that. And we're talking to the states. We're telling them in classified channels what we're seeing, what they need to worry about, what they need to adjust for. That didn't happen 4 years ago. They didn't share information of any significance with the states, so they had no idea what was going on around them. So we're in a very good place in terms of security versus, say, China, Russia, Iran. They're the main actors here. You know, that brings it back down to the states. And states, as the Constitution says, are responsible for elections. And they conduct them. Federal government is intentionally kept out of the mechanics of the elections within any given state. But one of the real benefits we have is, as we like to say, is if you've seen one state's election system, you've seen one state's election system. And because they're all different, they've all got their own nuances, there's no way to just come up with some fraud program that's going to work in more than one state, you know. So that really reduces your fraud threat to a local one within a given state. And I will say this, look, we worry about it. I'm paid to worry, you know, but states have done this before. The places I worry about the most are the ones who have been changing their system of voting. So they're doing something for the first time during a presidential election. That's always a little dicey.
Yeah.
You know, Nevada comes to mind. You've got a few states that are doing the all mail out ballots, where they mail everyone a ballot, not an absentee application. So there's an exchange on, you know, two exchanges to provide for more security. I worry about that. I'm not the only one. There are states who've been doing it for a long time, and they've got sort of their system down. Washington State, for instance. But Nevada hasn't done this before. certainly not during a presidential. And with COVID, we all know less people are going to vote in person, though that's perfectly safe if it's done right. And all the secretaries of state are zeroed in on doing it right. But we're still going to see higher absentee or mail-in vote counts. And that requires a different type of security. That's not so much an internet issue and a cybersecurity issue as it is facility security and sort of a custody of the evidence, to be a lawyer for a moment. You know, you've got to be able to track those ballots at every step of their life and know where they are and who has them and that they're supposed to be where they are and those sorts of things. But that all lands with the states and locals. I will tell you this, your listeners who are concerned about ballot security, who are concerned about fraud in the election, there is absolutely something they can do about it. They should go out and they should become election officers. Anybody can do it. Huh. Normally this is retired people. So people who are below 70 and who don't have medical conditions should think about doing this year. You can, 100,000 people would put, if they were spread out across the country, would have one person in every precinct, just about, roughly speaking. And you're there to count the votes. You're doing it. You can't really scream about a problem if you're the one doing it. So I would urge your listeners to, call your local registrar, clerk, whatever you call them in each of those states, and sign up and get in there and do it. Yeah, Jersey's got an interesting history, but, you flood them with honest people who care about the rule of law, and you make it real. Think globally, act locally, right? And this is an example of how people can do that.
That's great advice.
One last point on this. We are going to count votes slower this year. That's not a problem. I don't want people's paranoia, going off, and I'm a skeptic, so that happens quickly. but
well, at least you can recognize that. That's important.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On election night, unless it's a landslide, we probably won't know the winner that night. And that's because we've got slower voting, vote counting going on because of the additional mail-in voting and the way things are changing under COVID. And just if you just think of how people stand in a room when they're counting ballots, that's going to be different this year.
Right.
I just want people to be prepared for that. If you don't know who won the presidency by 1 a.m. Eastern time, it isn't because there's some nefarious plot, though you will see lots of those on the internet. And we want to make sure they don't catch hold. It's supposed to be slower than 2016. That means it's working right. And like I said, unless it's a landslide. Just everybody should expect that. And you should fully expect. The one thing these foreign actors are doing is the misinformation stuff. Every hot topic. So when the ruling comes out in Louisville on the Breonna Taylor situation, you're going to see the Chinese media is going to comment on it. The Russian people are going to comment on it, and they're going to try to drive both sides or all sides crazy. They try to spike anger and distrust and paranoia. Their goals aren't related to the election. We focus on the election. But let's take Russia. Russia's goal isn't this election. Their goal around the world is to undermine Western democracies and the confidence in them, because it raises Russia up by tearing all the rest of us down. They want division. They want us fighting amongst ourselves. And so they use every issue, whether it's Portland, it's the violence in the cities and around the country, Ferguson back a few years ago, anything like that, you'll see them swarming. And the Chinese have actually overt media. They've established enormous media empire, and they do it overtly and much more so than they used to. So you'll see all of that going on, and we need to not, retweet Russia, Chinese, Iranian opinions and things, because we're doing their work for them by doing it.
Well, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. This has been fascinating. I'd love to have you back on the show. Maybe we can chat before the election, too, as we get closer.
Glad to.
That'd be great. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli. You can follow him on Twitter. He's on Twitter, at Homeland Ken. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
We are in the middle of nonstop talk, so we're not going anywhere. But I do want to tell you, as you think about all the crime and craziness in cities out there, maybe it's time for you to sell your home. Maybe you're thinking about that. If you are, please reach out to my friends at Easy Homes PA. They can make the process easy and hassle-free. Easy Homes PA will buy your home as is. No realtor fees, no escrow fees, no repairs. Just sell your home as is. No open houses with strangers walking through the house. Any size, any condition, any price. And Easy Homes PA will make the timing work on your timeline. You can close in days. You can close in months. You'll get a very fair offer, and you'll avoid all the hassles of a traditional sale. So if you're ready to sell your house, here's the number, 215-608-6005. 215-608-6005. Or go to easyhomespa.com. What's great about this, of course, is that Jim, who's the owner of the company, this guy is such an amazing guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's always posting stuff about Trump on Facebook. He's all in, by the way. And he'd love to help you. And he can make this go by so fast. And when you'll save so much money without having to deal with real estate fees, for example. It really just is a no-brainer. Home evaluations can be done over the phone initially, over email. Just go to easyhomespa.com. I get it. If you want to sell your home in Philly or in the burbs, you want to get out of here, maybe the taxes are too much, you know this is the right time. They will help you. easyhomespa.com, 215-608-6005.
60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, let me go to Billy. He's in Princeton. He'd like to make a point about the discussion of talking politics. Billy, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I took college for 8 years, and you know, segueing on your wedding issue with no politics. You know, I used to tell the kids, "Hey, listen, you know, this country was founded on discussion in the bars and taverns up and down the East Coast." Like, how do you learn? It took 3 days for a newspaper to get from Philly to Princeton, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So if we don't discuss this, and, you know, when I go out and I go to the sports bars and, you know, I listened to John on, Johnny Marks on a few weeks back, and I listened on the other side to the sports. But if you don't talk about it, how do you learn? And the dumbest thing is to say, you don't talk politics in a bar.
Well, hey, look, if you don't want to, hang on a second. First of all, the founders were all drunks, and they'd wind up talking politics, and they'd go and, you know, stab each other with swords and shoot each other. Come on. Look, if you want to talk politics, knock yourself out. I'm not stopping you. I'm just saying, for me, I do this for a living. When I go out, I want a break. But if people want to talk about it, go ahead. Knock yourself out. I'm not telling you not to.
No. Well, my point is.
What?
You have to. No. People need to understand each other, and they need to respect each other's opinion.
Right.
That's where the problem is.
I agree.
Should we
bring back the duel?
Yes, I do that.
I agree. I think things would be better if we would just take it outside with a sword, you know, and end it.
That's more brutal.
But you're right. Like in Philadelphia, they had a big dysentery problem, right? So the founders, they would sit at bars and they would drink what back then was their version of beer, which, you know, I don't know, but what they call it, grog back then, right? And they would have big, most of everything was done in a tavern. You are correct about that, sir. You're absolutely right about that. It's a great tradition in America.
Great show, Rich. Hey, Rich, great show. And I loved the last interview.
Billy, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that, sir. By the way, where'd you teach?
I taught at Bucks County Community College for about 8 years.
Nice.
Yeah. the students were, I got to tell you, though, what Trump is launching now with this new Patriot focus for our students, I mean, the kids didn't know anything. I mean, I had some kids that didn't know the difference geographically between South Dakota and South Carolina. I was amazed.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad he's doing that.
I'm serious.
I'm glad he's doing that too. Because they got to counter that ridiculous 1619 project, which is so historically inaccurate.
Oh my lord! Oh my lord! Most of my students, when they left, I taught business, a variety of business courses, and I got to tell you, you know, when they left, at least half the students realized that what they were taught was not correct. And they learned, because you can't teach business and about economic policy unless you give them the truth and what we're living in. Listen, we deliver more goods and services efficiently than any other economic system ever developed in the world. And now they, you know, this AOC wants to go to Venezuela. Yeah, it's amazing.
Billy, thanks, buddy. Have a great day. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to the show. It means a lot. 855-839-1210. I'm amazed that one of my favorite movies of all time is 30 years old now, Goodfellas. I'll tell you what, I love that movie. I can't get enough of Goodfellas. Every time it's on, there are certain movies when they're on, you have to watch them, right? Greg?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Goodfellas is definitely one of them.
Goodfellas is one of them. Also, Godfather. Like, if it's on, I have to watch. I can't not watch it. It's sort of like a feeling. I saw this from The Guardian. Goodfellas at 30, Martin Scorsese's damning study of masculinity.
Oh, no. Tell me this is next on the chopping block.
It's next on the chopping block because it shows how toxic masculinity is such a problem.
Oh, no.
These are mobsters. They're not doing this because they're toxic masculine. They're freaking toxic mobsters is the issue here, not masculinity. Guy Lodge writing this. He says...
Guy Lodge must be a pleasure to hang out with, right?
Yeah, you imagine watching Goodfellas with him? I don't like this. This is very sexist in this movie. The way that they go through the kitchen to get to the table, that's very elitist.
Well,
look at their white privilege on display going through the kitchen to get their private table.
The Guardian's a Brit newspaper, isn't it? Or Brit website?
Yeah, but they have American writers too, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they do. Yeah. He says, he writes, a few weeks ago, as if inadvertently anticipating its 30th anniversary this month, Goodfellas found itself in the unlikely subject of a Twitter flame war kicked off by one non-admiring podcaster's viral tweet.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Can we just stop this for a second? So this whole article that he wrote is based off of one tweet?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. One tweet.
Yeah, this is the society we live in now. Like, this is unbelievable to me.
I know. This is what happens, right?
Like,
you wind up getting into a Twitter war.
It's going to be canceled because one guy tweeted somewhere about it, not liking it.
Well, they're mad that this movie has been a staple of the Movies for Men list for years.
Of course.
Because God forbid men have movies that they like, right?
Yeah.
And they go after Kyle Smith, the New York Post critic, who said, you know, because he said, women are not capable of understanding Goodfellas. By the way, they're not. He's right. Kyle Smith is right. My wife lasted 10 minutes in Goodfellas and fell asleep. She lasted 8 minutes in The Godfather and fell asleep.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with having guy movies and female. That's been the staple of our society for years. There are things called chick flicks that guys don't, you know, some guys don't like.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of those situations too, right? Where you know that if you find a woman who likes Goodfellas, you marry her first date.
Yes.
You get down on one knee at that date and you marry this woman here's the converse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a woman and you're out to a date with a guy and he tells you how much he goes on and how much he loves Love Actually, you don't get a second date. See that, right? I mean, that's the difference.
That's so true.
Oh, God. That's what I mean right there, you know?
Oh.
That woman's running for the, you love that too, right? And the guy goes on about how sensitive and sweet it is. She's like, all right then, you know what? I got my friend just called. And
Wasn't Love Actually Rick from The Walking Dead? Wasn't he in that?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was the deaf guy in the movie, right? Was he deaf in the movie? I forget.
In
my mind, everybody was deaf because I had subtitles on because I couldn't take it. So that was the compromise.
If I don't
have to listen to this, you can watch it.
Every guy, when they're courting a woman or, you know, their wife, girlfriend, has has sat through a chick flick where you're just like, good God, when will this end? I think Love Actually was the one that I sat through. But I don't remember anything about it because I think I fell asleep.
But. You definitely did. You definitely did. But if you're sitting there with a woman, she goes on about how much she loves Scorsese and she loves Goodfellas and she loved the whole, you know, you think I'm funny and she's... You go, why are you single? What, are you a serial killer? What? How are you not taken by now, right?
Let's go to the courthouse right now.
Yeah, right now. I'll marry you right here, right now. Is anyone a preacher in the room? Anyone? Anyone? But that's what I mean. But so of course there's guy movies and there's girl movies and there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Nope.
This is why we can't have nice things because of freaking Twitter. They go all this stuff. I mean, so they talk about how toxic. Let me read you some of this stuff. Ready from this now? The most celebrated scenes are indeed alluring ones in Goodfellas, beginning with that cornerstone sequence, much taught in the foundational film studies classes, that provokes such eye rolling from the likes of Donnelly, that plunges us into the mafia world via a snaking, unbroken Steadicam shot as the adult Ray Liotta guides his new girlfriend, Karen, played by Lorraine Bracco, through the sharp-dressed bustle and glitter of the Copacabana nightclub. Oh, yeah. It echoes an earlier long take shot from the Younger Hills awestruck point of view that introduces his mob elders in the rosy glow of a cocktail lounge. Because it's, again, the guy taking the woman through the privilege, and he's in charge, and he gets her, and then of course they go on about the murders and the violence and all the other stuff, and this is all toxic masculinity. This guy loves Love Actually. The guy writing this,
100%,
right? He loves Love Actually.
And by the way, even though that movie was 30 years old, I mean Goodfellas, like it was portraying people, real life characters from the 60s and 70s, right? So like it was a different time, you know what I mean? Like to compare everything now to like what we are like in 2020 is ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like Henry Hill was a bad dude. Like he admitted it. So like I don't know. It's
also just a true story, by the way.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
The thing about Goodfellas is that much like Donnie Brasco and some of these are the Godfather. Yes. I mean, it's all based on these are real people. Here's the news to this writer at The Guardian. This is going to shock him. Ready? Powerful people sometimes use violence to get their way. Here's a hint. It's called war. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of the W word, war? Like, is that toxic masculinity too? I guess. Is he saying that women don't ever engage in military combat? Was Margaret Thatcher not the Prime Minister of England? Did she not side with Reagan in trying to defeat communism? I'm sorry, but was she, what, toxic femininity? Was that what that was?
Her nickname, her nickname was what, the Iron Lady?
The Iron freaking Lady was her nickname. he writes here now, Goodfellas gets routinely broken down to just its masculine bada-bing iconography and fanish shallow focus tributes. It's time Goodfellas and its genre were reclaimed from the murk of unexamined male fantasy.
No. Why do we watch movies to escape, don't we? I mean, like
you know what I want to do with this writer? I want to put him in the back of a trunk, just like what happened to Marty, the wig guy. That's what I want to have happen to this guy right now.
No, you're obviously.
I'm just joking and using satire.
I'm sure this guy's a lovely, lovely.
Sure, he's a lovely, lovely pain in the ass millennial to sit back and watch watch a movie with.
Oh yes, he's definitely. I don't know him, but I'm almost positive this guy is a millennial. No offense, Bill.
He analyzes movies worse than me.
Professor, are we going to talk about the toxic masculinity of this movie, or are we just going to talk about the movie itself? Oh man, toxic masculinity and Goodfellas. Shocking that mob guys would be tough guys, right? You just said Twitter is this is why we can't have nice things. That quote was originally from Goodfellas, as Jay points out on Twitter.
Oh.
This is why we can't have nice things. Karen, as Karen smashes stuff in a fight with Henry. Jay, bravo to you for getting my very subtle Godfather's reference there. Well done, sir. Well done. You win Twitter in my heart today, Jay. It's at Jason Philly. Yes, yes.
They've put a disclaimer in front of Blazing Saddles on HBO Max. Like, you know, this type of language was appropriate for its time or whatever. I'm guessing that Goodfellas is probably next.
Yeah, you know what? I there's going to come a point where the only movie you're going to be allowed to see by law is Love Actually. It'll be running 24/7. And men will just finally give up once and for all and say, that's it. Masculinity's over. It's done. Turn it in. Turn it in.
By the way, I just looked up this guy on Twitter. He looks like he could kick my butt. I don't know where – I don't know what went wrong, but he's like – he has a shaved head. He has a giant beard. Like, I don't know where – and he is from London.
So he can't get to us that easily. So that
he can't fly over
here. Good. That's good. Woo! That's good. Dodged a bullet right there.
I don't know where – I mean, like, this guy – I mean, just going by appearance, out of any guy should understand – you know, what Goodfellas means to, you know, a certain generation.
Now, are superhero movies, guy movies, they used to be, right, for the most? I think more women now like Avengers, and I think they've done a good job of broadening that appeal.
Disney/Marvel has done a very good job of appealing to the mass audience.
Without making men not want to watch, except for Captain Marvel, which was so woke, and guys were like, okay, this sucks. But
Nobody counted that.
No. Just like nobody counts Superman 4 as a real superhero movie. I read the most amazing thing the other day.
Wait.
I've never seen Superman 4, Quest for Peace. I never saw it. It was because I've always heard how bad it is. I never saw it. But this was the final Christopher Reeve Superman movie, right?
I saw it in the movie theater when I was 7 years old.
When you were 7 years old.
Yes,
John Cryer played, what is it, Nuclear Man or something, right?
he was Lenny. He was Gene Hackman's nephew.
Superman goes to the United Nations and says he's now going to get rid the world of nuclear missiles. Okay? It's the height of the Cold War now. It's 1987. Reagan's president, right? He's going to rid the world of missiles. He gets all the nuclear missiles in a net, right? And throws them into the sun. This is the plot of Superman 4. By all accounts, everybody agrees this movie is an abomination, right? It turns out that Christopher Reeve did not want to make this movie. He only agreed to do it so that the studio would greenlight him to make some other movie that he really wanted to do.
Yeah, he was playing politics.
Yeah, so he played politics. He goes, I'll do Superman 4 if you'll let me do this other movie. And they had a low budget, so Superman doesn't even fly correctly in it. It's like you can see the strings and stuff, right? So that he could do another movie, and in that movie was an undiscovered actor named Morgan Freeman. So actually, Morgan Freeman, in many ways, owes his career to Superman 4.
Oh.
Because had that movie not happened, then the other movie would not have happened, then Morgan Freeman might have, you know, who knows, right? Wow.
The movie was Street Smart with Christopher Reeve and Morgan Freeman. It came out in 1987.
And by the way, less people watch that than watch Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
I've never heard of this movie before.
Right, exactly, right? But I never saw Superman 4, so can you tell the bad special effects of how Superman flies, for example?
100%. And, really? And you know, he puts all the nuclear weapons in a net, I believe, and swings it around. And the villain, I don't remember what the villain's name is, not Gene Hackman, but like the actual superhero villain, looked like a bad 87, like Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren in Superman 4, the lesser Dolph Lundgren in Superman 4. Susie Cool on Twitter says, I guess I'm really a guy. Goodfellas is my third favorite movie of all time, slightly trailing The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2. Remember when Henry Hill used to be on Stern all the time before Howard Stern became woke Howard Stern? Henry Hill was great on Howard Stern, back in the day?
He used to show up loaded all the time. It was hysterical. He became like a Whack Pack member for the Stern Show for a while.
Susie, that's why guys would sweep you off your feet in a heartbeat just for your love of movies. Just for the love of movies. That's it, right then and there. I mean, that's what I'm talking about right there. It's like, you know, is there a preacher in the room? Anyone. But I don't know. I mean, my wife falls asleep at everything, in every movie, except for that friggin' Love Actually.
Loves that movie, huh?
I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I don't understand certain things in life. I just don't understand. But I guess that's why I'm a guy. I'm not ashamed by that, by the way. This guy who could kick our butt, you know, the one who's in England?
Yeah.
The tough guy on Twitter?
Yeah.
This guy, when you get into his house, I bet you walk in, there's like hologram images of Love Actually in the house. That's what I think.
We are super tough when he's across the pond.
When he's across the pond and... You know, that's fine. I could be a real tough guy right there. Suddenly, I'm Henry Hill. When it comes to that, suddenly, I'm a mob boss. It's amazing to me that Henry Hill was never whacked in real life, because eventually, obviously, he stopped being in hiding. Yep. He was on the Howard Stern show all the time. Would have been easy to find him, but they never did.
He used to come in, and they used to have people call in who used to call him a rat all the time and say, if I ever see you, I'm going to, you know, kill you or whatever that. And it never seemed to bother him.
I mean, this Goodfellas, if you don't like Goodfellas and you're a guy, you're not a guy. It's like when Joe Biden said, you know, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. If you don't like Goodfellas, you're not a guy.
It's true.
That's going to be my standard right there.
I mean, Goodfellas is, I mean, if it's not in any, it's, if it's not in every guy's top five, you're right. There's something wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree without a doubt. China, how do we hold China accountable? Congressman Guy Reschenthaler is going to join me in just a matter of moments. He's a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee that looked into just what China did with regards to the coronavirus. And it's bad. What they discovered is very dangerous. Congressman Guy Reschenthaler will break it down for us in just a matter of moments. Hey, listen, Newsmax has great shows on all the time. I've mentioned Newsmax a lot because ComScore reports last month almost 10 million cable viewers tuned in to watch Newsmax. Another 8 million people watched on streaming devices. Newsmax is at the cutting edge of the media revolution. Great shows on there like Greg Kelly Reports. Greg's a former Marine, combat veteran, and former White House correspondent. And every night this week, Greg Kelly is exposing the big media's lies about President Trump. Newsmax TV is available on local cable like DirecTV Channel 349, or get it for free just by downloading the app or watching it on Amazon Fire, so streaming it on Roku, for example, or Apple TV, or just download it on your smartphone. Tune into Newsmax tonight for Greg Kelly Reports and shows from Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Alan Dershowitz, and more. When it comes to real news for real people, you can't beat Newsmax. It is the fastest growing conservative cable news channel and the new channel for conservative thought, Newsmax TV.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.